are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
He probably will be owned by literally 80% of the field. It reminds me of last season with Carlos Williams at about 3,700.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And number two, if you didn't have Julio Jones in last week, then you probably aren't doing great either.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is disappointing on all kind of fronts.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Odell Beckham Jr., 8,500, absolutely needs to be on, in my opinion, he's going to be in every single one of my lineups, and I hope that he's in every single one of you guys as well.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to week 5 of the DFS podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm sure the listeners aren't doing as well, though, because they, A, are listening to you instead of the much better voice of Sasha Stallinger. And number two, if you didn't have Julio Jones in last week, then you probably aren't doing great either.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is disappointing on all kind of fronts. You know, as much as I know there are some ladies out there listening that love the sounds of my dulcet tones, I'm sure most people would much rather hear Sasha than me. So, sorry, Sasha couldn't make it this week. I'm filling in, and you get what you get.
You get what you get. Although, if we did record last week, you would have heard me say that Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Big Ben should be in your lineup. I did have Julio in one, and it was amazing. The problem was the rest of the guys surrounding it wasn't great. But at least in the Big Ben, Le'Veon, and Antonio Brown stack I had, that was pretty solid. So my cash games were solid.
I think I won one kind of tourney that kind of covered the rest of my buy-ins last week. So
I've been in the FWFB DraftKings League, 2 weeks in a row now, and I have come in fourth and fifth, which is one spot and two spots away from paying out each and every week. So right now the trend is going down. Hopefully I'm going to reverse back this week.
There's some good competition in that because, with the same lineup that I've fielded in that Friends of Fantasy Benefits DraftKings League. By the way, if you want to get in on that, I tweet it out, so... and then I also post it in our on our Facebook page, so you can like the Facebook page and get it from there, or you could follow me or the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Twitter account, or Mike at Mike Warner FWFB, or Sasha at Sasha Salinger, or me at Justin Mason FWFB, because we all retweeted and stuff like that. So if you want to get in on that, you can do that. But yeah, I mean, every week I think I won it. Came in first or second, like, the first week. And since then, I have fallen just outside of the money every time. And then, with the exact same lineup, won other tourneys. So, some pretty good competition so far in there. And then there's people like Ben Brennis, who forget to set a lineup. So, it really just pulls down the average. But let's jump right into our DFS plays of the week. And start with quarterback. Mike, who are you taking at quarterback this week in DFS?
Well, let's start first and foremost with Tom Brady. I know that he is not the top-priced option, but that's Aaron Rodgers, which is a fine play, but I'm not going to be recommending him. Tom Brady, this is the first week back from the whole Deflategate debacle, which hopefully everybody can kind of put in the rearview mirror. He was the number two fantasy quarterback last season. He's going to be in a 10.5-point favorite spot against Cleveland, again, on the road. He has multiple touchdowns in each and every game since week 10 last season. And he's been just a stud. There's not really much to say. The Cleveland defense is bottom three in terms of pass attempts against for completion rate. And the Cleveland defense has no idea what they're going to be able to do against Tom Brady in general. I think Brady is going to at least have 3 or 4 touchdowns. The Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman statistics go up almost double when Tom Brady is in the game, as opposed to other quarterbacks. That includes, Jacoby Brissett and, Jimmy Garoppolo earlier this year, and other options in earlier prior years as well. But there's really not much else to say other than Tom Brady is by far the best overall option this week, but he will be heavily owned. He's more of a cash game option, somebody that I would roll in a head to head or just a regular 50-50 double up type of situation, because again, in tournaments, I think he is going to be probably upwards of 30-40% owned. Other options, Big Ben against this New York Jets defense. We already saw what Ben did last week against a Kansas City team that was coming off of six interceptions. The Jets are giving up the sixth most fantasy points per game to the position, have had a horrid year from Darrell Revis and from their secondary in general. This is a team that really has no real way to stop Big Ben. Le'Veon Bell is back and, is certainly healthy. And, there's just really no reason not to go out and have Big Ben. I think both him and Brady are my top two options for this week. And I probably will be rolling with them, one of the two, if I'm going to be playing cash games. Some tournament options. I'll throw Andrew Luck out there against Chicago. Although the Bears defense has been pretty good against quarterbacks this year, I think that they are due to have some massive regression. Kyle Fuller, their best corner, who is not even that great, is going to be out for the rest of the season, which leaves a lot of openings for the Colts to be all right. Chicago's run defense isn't that great, but Frank Gore is also nursing a chest injury. There's not a lot on the rushing side that the Colts can use, so I think that Andrew Luck is a safe 40 to 45 attempt guy this week, and should do pretty well against this Bears defense. But again, a tournament play based on his price at 7,300 on DraftKings. I'm going to throw Phillip Rivers and Derek Carr in on this as well for tournament plays. They are 69 and 6,800 respectively. Both of them had one good and one bad game against each other last year, which included 300 yards and three touchdowns for both of them, and then other clunkers in the other matchups that they had. So going into this one, they have one of the highest over-unders for this week. They both, the game total is over 53 for right now. Expected to be a lot of points scored. The problem for me on both of these guys is that we have so many options in the rushing angle. You have Melvin Gordon, you have Jalen Richard, you have DeAndre Washington. There's so many other options other than just the pass catchers and the quarterbacks themselves that could make for a good fantasy day. So I'm going to be leaning against both of them, but based on the fact that they have a high over under and they have such good receiver weapons, I think they are both solid tournament plays. I'm also going to mention Carson Wentz against Detroit, based on the fact that Detroit's defense has been so bad so far this season. Against quarterbacks, they are giving up the second most fantasy points per game. They've given up 12 touchdowns in four games, over 1,100 yards as well. They are not forcing any sacks or turnovers on defense. This is a really good spot for a very efficient Carson Wentz coming off a bye week. Jim Schwartz revenge game. I'm going to have the Eagles defense as an option for DFS this week. But overall, if you want a solid cash game or tournament option, I think Wentz is a good guy to go with. Eli Manning against Green Bay. Green Bay is giving up the fourth most fantasy points per game to the quarterback position. They don't have Sam Shields this week. I think that this is going to, again, be a week that Odell Beckham Jr. kind of, comes back to being one of the best receivers in football, like he has always been since he arrived. And Green Bay just doesn't really have much. They are an amazing run defense, so I'm not going to be recommending anything on that side. But against the pass, they have not been great this year, and this is a spot where Eli and his 6,000 price tag will probably be very low owned and somebody that you can easily go with in tournaments. Sam Bradford went for two touchdowns and almost 300 yards against this Green Bay team, and Blake Bortles had over 300 yards and Stafford had three passing touchdowns as well. Ryan Tannehill against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans have one of the most abysmal secondaries in football, led by Parrish Cox, Jason McCourtney. Brock Osweiler went for multiple touchdown passes against them last week, over 250 yards. Other than that, they faced Sean Hill, and they were able to stop him. And they also faced Derek Carr, and were able to stop him as well. But Ryan Tannehill doesn't have a real running back, since Arian Foster, even if he does return, is only going to get minimal carries. And I think that this is a situation where Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry can do very well. So I think that Tannehill is a decent tournament option. The last guy I'll go with is Ryan Fitzpatrick against Pittsburgh. He's 5,100 on DraftKings, which I think is insane. Pittsburgh's pass defense has not been good really for a long time now. They gave up out of sheer volume, gave up multiple touchdowns and almost 300 yards to Alex Smith last week, gave up the same to Carson Wentz the week before, gave up over 300 yards to the other two quarterbacks that they've seen this season. I think that Pittsburgh's going to run up the score, and it's going to be garbage time central for Fitzpatrick. So I think Fitzpatrick on the low end is by far the best tournament gamble to go with.
All right. What are you thinking about a running back?
CJ Anderson, I'm going to keep it kind of quick here. CJ Anderson against Atlanta because their rush defense is bottom five in fantasy football, or again, in fantasy points per game this season. They've been absolutely shredded, almost 320 yards on 70 rushes, multiple touchdowns receiving and rushing. The fact that Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian are both, you know, kind of wishy-washy on whoever is going to be starting in this game leads me to believe that CJ Anderson is going to be the focal point of the offense. So I think he is my top overall play at running back for 6,900. If you're going to stay going on the top end, I think Le'Veon Bell at 7,500 is fine. I'm not going to be willing to pay that price. The Jets interior run defense is the best part of their defense as a whole. And, you know, even though Bell can catch passes and everything, I just don't want to pay the 7,500 price tag based on, you know, all the other options out there. Melvin Gordon at 7,000 against Oakland. They are terrible across the board against the run. They've given up three touchdowns this year on almost 500 yards, almost 100 attempts, almost 200 receiving yards as well with a touchdown. Melvin Gordon is getting a ton of red zone looks. He has converted on six red zone attempts for touchdowns inside the 10-yard line thus far. There's no other options but him. So at 7,000, I think he is a good cash game play. Not for tournaments, though. I think that a lot of people will be owning him. Ezekiel Elliott against Cincinnati. We finally saw him get into the end zone last week, and I think he is going to continue to get the lion's share of the goal line looks for Dallas going forward. Cincinnati is a team that is pretty solid against the run this year, but the fact that Zeke Elliott is probably going to be leaned on heavily, I think, makes for a good play at 6,800 and a solid tournament option as well. Todd Gurley, tournament option against Buffalo, 6,500. This is a situation where he finally got five receptions last week. I think he might continue to see that trend go up going into this week. They allowed five receptions for 50 yards, Buffalo, that is, to James White in week four against the Patriots. They also allowed a pretty good game to David Johnson the week prior. Matt Forte had three touchdowns the week prior to that. So there's a pretty good trend of good running back performances against Buffalo to date. Devontae Freeman against Denver. I know that's a pretty oddball situation, but I would rather go with him over Jordan Howard, even though the Indianapolis matchup is better. And I think that Howard is going to be insanely high owned, and for the right reasons, since Indianapolis's run defense is, you know, the bottom four in fantasy points per game, giving up almost 24 a game. It's fine to go with Howard, and I'm going to recommend him. But I like Devontae Freeman a little bit more because I think Tevin Coleman is going to be very limited in terms of his use due to the sickle cell trade, and I don't think that the Falcons know how that's going to affect him. If you give me Devontae Freeman for 5,000 against any defense, if nobody recalls, Sharkhandrick West had an amazing game against Denver last year and was about the same price. Devontae Freeman is a much more talented running back, and if he gets the lion's share of the workload, even if they're behind, I think that he can easily pay that price tag. So I like Devontae Freeman. I think he's going to be a very good tournament play because nobody will own him. Jared McKinnon at 4,000. We've seen him step into almost a full-time role between the 20s. He's also getting red zone looks. He's getting receptions. 4,000 against the Houston defense. That's solid against the run, but we'll be able to give him opportunities to score. I think is a very nice floor. So at 4,000 even, I'm definitely in for Jared McKinnon, especially on a PPR site like DraftKings. James White, the same thing. 3,900. He gets his quarterback back. He averaged at least five targets in each game dating back to week 14 last season, and is averaging over 10 fantasy points per game during that span as well. 3,900 is a really good tag, and I think he is going to assume more of the snaps due to Tom Brady returning, and the fact that I think, you know, they're just going to pass. They were a pass heavy team last year. They reverted back with Brady not being there. I think that White is going to end up getting a lot of the touches in that situation. And the last guy I'll go with is DeAndre Washington. Be warned, he probably will be owned by literally 80% of the field. It reminds me of last season with Carlos Williams at about 3,700. The fact that Latavius Murray's status is pretty questionable to doubtful at this point tells me that DeAndre Washington will probably get a ton, probably 65 to 70% of the workload against the San Diego defense that is hideous against the run dating back to last season. They're giving up 26 fantasy points per game this year, eight total touchdowns to running backs. This is a solid play and spot for DeAndre Washington, but again, he will be heavily owned, so I think he's better suited for cash games, not tournaments. But either way, he's an amazing play.
Yeah, he's a great play, but you're right. It may be kind of like Spencer Ware week one.
Yeah, where, like, yeah, absolutely. Same
where,
thing.
Like, you had to play him because he was so cheap, and it was such a nice matchup, but everybody played him. So it was definitely very chalky. But he, like, you know, you weren't cashing in like the big tournaments if you didn't play him. So I like Washington a lot this week.
Sure.
Who you got at wide receiver?
There's a lot of guys, and you know what I've been doing with Sasha is kind of going by price point and kind of going by game. So depending on what game you like and where you're going with your quarterback and running back will kind of dictate where you kind of want to take some of these receivers. But Antonio Brown up top against the Jets, I already mentioned how bad they've been against quarterbacks. That's partially, again, due to their secondary being so terrible as well. The fact that he's 9,800, I will not be paying that price. He does do better at home, and so does Big Ben. And again, this is a great spot with the Jets being, traveling over to Pittsburgh as well. But I just will not be paying that price tag. But again, he is the top overall play on the day. Odell Beckham Jr., 8,500, absolutely needs to be in my opinion, he's going to be in every single one of my lineups. And I hope that he's in every single one of you guys as well. I have faith in him. He is still the focal point of the Giants offense, regardless of what anybody wants to say. And Green Bay, if you want to go through some of their game logs, week three against Detroit gave up 6 receptions for over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns to Marvin Jones, 3 touchdowns on the game against Detroit, gave up over 180 yards and a touchdown on 9 receptions to Stephon Diggs in week two. And then in week one against Allen Hurts and Allen Robinson, gave up over 140 yards total on 10 receptions between the two. I think that Odell Beckham is going to absolutely go nuts this week against Green Bay. Sam Shields is out. I don't know if I mentioned that already, but Sam Shields is their best cover corner. Again, nobody's going to be able to even touch Odell Beckham. If you don't have him, you're probably going to lose this week. I like Amari Cooper on the high end at 7,200. Already kind of said Jason Verrett is out this week and for the rest of the season for San Diego, even though this year thus far they've done pretty well against the wide receiver. This is the first week we will be seeing them without their best cover corner. So I think Cooper, the fact that he doesn't have a touchdown yet, and the fact that he just needs to kind of regress positively, is in an amazing spot. Pretty decent price too at 7,200. T.Y. Hilton against the Bears. I already mentioned Kyle Fuller being out. That's an amazing guy to target with Andrew Luck if you want to pair those two. I like Brandon Marshall. I mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Marshall is going to continue to get the red zone looks and a heavy amount of targets against a Pittsburgh defense that doesn't do well in the secondary. And I think we'll be trailing. That is the Jets against Pittsburgh this week. Still staying on the high end. I like Jarvis Landry against Tennessee for the reasons I mentioned with Ryan Tannehill. If you want to go kind of mid price point, I like the Washington and Baltimore game for a few of the guys here. We have DeSean Jackson at 5,900, Steve Smith and Mike Wallace at 5,300 and 5,100 respectively. Devontae Parker at 5,000 for the Miami Tennessee game. I like a ton for tournaments. Jamison Crowder at 46. If you want to go a little bit lower there, just a few tournament darts. I do like Quincy Enunwa. Again, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. Quincy Enunwa is 4,600, still getting a ton of looks as well. Again, I think that the Jets are going to be behind, so he's a solid play to go with. Sammy Coates, Bryce Butler, and Cameron Meredith all are 3,600 or less, with Cameron Meredith being the minimum at 3,000. That all could get some looks and be really cheap tournament darts if you wanted to go and pay up for a few of the other running backs or wide receivers on this slate. I do want to mention Jordan Matthews and Terrell Pryor. I think that both of them are in interesting spots. Terrell Pryor is 1,000 less, but is getting the 11th most targets among all wide receivers, tight ends, and anybody in the league. He might get some quarterback time this week. I think people will forget about him, but at 5,800, certainly a spot to go to with him.
All right, let's move over to tight ends. Are there any good tight end plays this week?
I have very few. Delanie Walker, I will mention against Miami because they've been so bad against the position and because Walker has traditionally been a focal point of the offense, but not as much this year. I'm not willing to bank on Walker, but I will recommend him based on the matchup alone. The two guys I will be going with everywhere: Martellus Bennett against Cleveland at 3,700. Cleveland's been terrible against the tight end. Tom Brady week coming back from his suspension. And then you also have the fact that this team's going to be going so much more pass heavy. Gronkowski's still going to be on the field. Martellus Bennett went for over 100 yards last week. At 3,700, the price is too good for me not to play him. And again, you know, the Browns have given up already two tight end touchdowns this year with over 330 yards in only 4 games. Love the matchup there. And then Zach Ertz against Detroit. Detroit has been third worst in terms of fantasy points per game to the tight end position, but five touchdowns given up so far in 4 games this year. Zach Ertz is coming back. back, and that depressed his price, $3,500. He had that rib injury, but he had a whole bye week to get healthy. Carson Wentz has been making great decisions, has been targeting the tight end position a ton. So I really like Zach Ertz and Martellus Bennett as my two favorite plays. I will throw Jesse James against the Jets for $2,900 as a possible dart throw in tournaments if you want to go that route, just because Big Ben and the Pittsburgh offense is so pass-oriented.
Yeah, I mean, I like Hunter Henry. I know you're not a big fan of the play this week, especially if Antonio Gates is back, but I still think he will be productive. And at $3,300, I think that's a really fair price. Dwayne Allen, guy I don't mind.
Dwayne Allen. I just, with him and Jack Doyle, kind of mixing it up, that kind of worries me a bit. And then you have, I mean, Dwayne Allen did assume a lot of the he ran more routes last week. So maybe there is kind of a changing of the guard there, but I don't mind either of them. If Hunter Henry does play without Antonio Gates, then I do think he is somebody that you should look for.
Okay. Let's finish up with some defenses. Any strong defensive plays this week?
I'm going to keep it real simple. Broncos against Atlanta. The Broncos have the upside to go for 20 points any given week. They have the best defensive line in football. They have the best corners in football just across the board. You will have to pay for them at $3,800, but I think that they are in an amazing spot against the so far number one offense in all of football. The Patriots against Cleveland, I think it's enough said. Cody Kessler, they are going to probably be playing with a deficit the majority of the game, which could lead to a lot of mistakes. I think that the fact that the Patriots struggled against the Bills last week will give them enough fire to kind of create some turnovers and, get this game kind of under the bag. And then the last one is the Eagles against Detroit. They come off the bye. Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. He knows this Lions offense as a whole. He knows the majority of the personnel there. And the Eagles offense has just been talented this year. They've been forcing turnovers. They are elite in run stopping, which could force the Lions to be just pass heavy. And then when you start throwing passes and getting penetration on the defensive line, that leads to turnovers. So the Philadelphia Eagles with their seventh highest turnover percentage in the league, I think makes for a really strong play. And other than that, I think that's going to be what I go with in terms of the defenses. There are a few other options, but if you wanted to go low end, $2,900 for the Eagles is about as low as that gets.
I also like the Bills at 31.
So. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I would rather just stay with what I have.
I'm pretty much going with the Bills, 31. I really like the Patriots call. I mean, I know that the Broncos defense has been really, really good, but Atlanta's offense has been pretty good too. So I would probably stick away from that. So for me, it's Patriots, the Bills, the Eagles, and I wouldn't mind going with the Vikings. So.
Well, yeah, the Vikings are an automatic. I mean, I don't know how they're not the top, price defense. They're actually the fourth behind the Steelers, which I find ridiculous. I understand Fitzpatrick throws interceptions, but I'm not willing to go with the Steelers over the Vikings. And the Rams I love this week, but I would rather just go 200 more and get the Vikings. So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up. Mike, why don't you tell people where you can be reached and what you're working on?
Whew, short and sweet. You can catch me on Twitter at Mike Werner FWFB. I'm always willing to throw some plays on there as well. I did that a couple times last week when I kind of sent that out there. So if you have any kind of debates or any questions on who to play this week, I can certainly help you out. I've been doing very, very well this year, so hopefully I can do that for you. You can check out our season-long preview show that comes out on Fridays with you and I, Justin. Sasha and I will be back next week with the DFS show, hopefully, when scheduling gets kind of together there. And definitely check out the Friends with Fantasy Benefits website. We have all types of stuff for football up there. And check out my column that I do each week. Last week I did a target rundown with some leaderboard stuff and what the targets kind of shook out as last week. So check all of it out.
And you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Definitely give us a rate and review. It helps us out a lot. That I think will wrap us up. So for Mike and myself, thank you for listening. I hope you win a lot of money playing DFS. Every night.